you for singing and being here, and we're getting into the Word of God tonight and continuing about prayer. And tonight I want to focus on praising during prayer. And you say, well, which one are we talking about, praising or prayer? Well, both, because there should be a lot of praising going on during our prayer time. And so I've chosen a spot in 2 Chronicles. And you say, well, I'm not sure where that is. Well, it's right after 1 Chronicles, but it's all of the ones, Samuel, Kings, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and we're looking at verse number 20 and 22, and so I want to give it for an illustration of how God had worked without the need for physical battle. And so there's a massive army that's marching to attack Judah, and King Jehoshaphat challenges the kingdom to be in prayer, and then there's this prophet, Jehaziel, that tells them that they wouldn't have to fight, that the battle belongs to the Lord, and then we'll see what God does. And so this is not where we're preaching from, but I just want to use this as a great illustration for praising or singing and giving God glory in the times of difficulties as we go to prayer. And they rose up early. This is 2 Chronicles 20:20. And they rose up early and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. With the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of his holiness. And as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And so as it goes down through, we could read the whole thing, but in verse number 21, they appoint these singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of his holiness and say, just go out, we're going to sing this battle. And verse 22, they begin to sing, and the Lord sets ambushments. And then we see that the Lord does do a great work in verse number 25. And when Jehoshaphat and the people came to take away the spoil, then they found among them in abundance both riches with their dead bodies and precious jewels. And long story short, that the Lord did the battle. And it was true what they said, what Jehaziel said up in verse number 17, the beginning of it, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. And they didn't. The praising and the singing and the glorifying God, and God confused their enemies, and their enemies started attacking each other. And by the time they went down there the next day to find out what the damage was done, all the damage was done, and they found them there. And it took them about 3 days to gather up all the spoil from the enemy that they took and hauled back to the house. So you say, well, what's that got to do? We're not teaching through. Well, I know we're not, but I want it to look as we continue these lessons on prayer to talk about praising the Lord. Sometimes we get the idea that prayer is, okay, Lord, forgive me for this, this, and this, and that's a good thing. We ought to confess our sins, yes. But a lot of the times our prayers need to start off and end at the end as well. And that is with praising the Lord for the things that he has done and how he has blessed and what he has been accomplishing and showing him and us what he has been involved in. So when Jesus gives the disciples the model prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that begins with that hallowed be thy name, that praising the Lord for who he is. And sometimes what you and I need to do when we're getting ready to pray in the mornings and the evenings, whenever it is just spend some time thanking God for who he is and what he does and what he's done in the past and how he's blessed and how you've been seeing his mighty works. And so sometimes as a kid, I would think, how in the world I'd hear that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. How could you pray for an hour? Because what I thought the prayer was just, Lord, please do this and do this. And I mean, you already prayed for all the missionaries you've ever heard of, and you prayed for the pastor, and you prayed for this, and you prayed for everything else. 5 minutes is all you got in there. And so prayer is a lot more than just saying, gimme, 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 gimme. And there's a certain place for that. We're supposed to pray about everything and ask. And prayer is that asking, seeking, knocking. But also in that time is just praising the Lord. You say, does he need reminded of who he is? No, but we do. And as we bring his name glory and as we lift up our praises to him, number one, we're fulfilling the command that God says, everything that hath breath should praise the Lord. And so that gets us obedient, but then it also gets us remembering, whatever the opposite of forgetful is, we gets us remembering who it is that we're talking to. And so as Jesus told those disciples to tell, to pray, hallowed be thy name, holy and set apart, hallowed be thy name. And so as we see that come to pass, we ought to be doing that in our lives as well. So I want you to look at these five or six points as we go into this idea of prayer with praise. Well, why don't you look for the first of these, or a few of these are just very, very practical, and so I trust that all of them will be a blessing. But number one, praise is the right thing to do. And the Bible says in Psalm 68, verse number 19, and he daily loadeth us with benefits, and God just gives and gives and gives and gives so many things. The Bible says in that verse, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. And so I'm saying this as I deduct about this first point, praise is just the right thing to do. We would try to teach our kids to send or give a thank you to somebody who did something for them. Graduation time, many of you, you gave a blessing to one of the girls or you've helped them in this. And we try to teach them to send a thank you note. It's sometimes something unheard of nowadays, but take the time to write a note and send thank you. Why is it? Because it's the right thing to do. Well, same it is when the Lord, when all of the benefits that he gives, he just keeps on loading us. It's an interesting choice of words. He loadeth us with benefits. And so when we've got all these things, it's just the right thing to do for us to say, thank you, Lord, or praise you for what you have given to us. Some of us are not very grateful. And truly, we find ourselves quick to complain. And you say, well, I've had this happen, I've had this happen, and somebody did me wrong here. And we're quick to complain, but oftentimes we're slow to just sit back and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've given me. You say, you don't know my life. You don't know all the trouble I've had. Pain, despair, and agony, oh me, oh my, whichever way that was. If it weren't for bad luck, you have no luck at all. You remember that old classic hymn of the faith? Yeah, I know. But we're quick to complain, but sometimes very slow to say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. You came in here. You say, yeah, but you don't know the day that I've had, but you came in here. And that's a reason to give thanks to the Lord for what he's done and what he's given you. So praise, it's the right thing to do. I say it's right because that's what we would do if somebody in this world gave you a blessing of some sort. Oh, I'll do this for you. Well, thank you. That's something we ought to do. Number two, we praise him for answered prayer. You're in Psalm there if you are, then turn over to Psalm 118. The Bible says in Psalm 118, verse number 21, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. We ought to praise him for answered prayer. I told you already, try to teach our kids, well, send a thank you note to do this. But back to teaching those kids, what do you teach that shy little kid to say when somebody does something for them? You teach them to pick their head up and say, thank you. Why? Because it doesn't come natural. It's something that we're not in our flesh wanting to do oftentimes, or maybe they're shy and embarrassed. I understand that. A kid can have multiple reasons. But if we're not careful as adults, we are quick to grab and go. That's what the kids there at Pensacola, that's what they call the lunches if they don't go to the regular cafeteria or the Four Winds or wherever, grab and go. They can get it and go. And we understand that, but that's not a good policy in our prayer life. or in our blessing life, just grab it and go. I was so convicted some years ago when I would listen to messages and lessons about prayer, and we seek and knock and ask. And then this part convicted me that when God did answer, oftentimes I would just go on to my next prayer, forgetting to stand there, sit there, lay there, whatever, and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing and thank you for answering prayer. Not only is it the right thing to do because he daily loadeth us with benefits, but also we ought to praise him for what he's done in the past. Some of you are sitting right here, and this truth came to me by my pastor's teaching, and some of you, though, are sitting right here in the answers to the prayers that you prayed to God. I'm doing right now what is an answer to prayer. As God started moving on Amy and I's heart, we were pastoring up in Ohio, and God introduced me to Buffalo Ridge, and we started praying and seeking. It just seemed like that's what the Lord was doing. And so then there came that time, I said, well, Lord, I pray that you'll work it out. At first, I said, Lord, I don't know whether you're going to work it out, and I don't know if you want to work it out, and I don't know if I want you to work it out either, because I just wanted his will. But then after you turn that corner, you say that this is where God wants me, and so you start praying for that. So I'm standing here as pastor in answer to prayer that Amy and I prayed, and you all as well. But not only that, I'm standing here and she's sitting over there, answer to prayer of my wife, who's been so faithful all these years. And you know, we got married at 20, so part of the time we're engaged, I've been 19, like every other teenager. Oh, let me get married. Those thoughts and prayers and messages, Lord, even so, come Lord Jesus, but not till June 4th. That's our anniversary. And so I'm here today in living in answered prayer, but you are too. Some of you are here literally today because of physical answers to prayer, and we didn't think you were going to make it. And so I'm saying we ought to praise him for answered prayer. And then number three, take it a little different turn, Habakkuk. Another difficult one to find, but again, this is not a doctrinal section about that's reflecting this, but I'm giving it because the scriptural teaching is here. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 17, it teaches us that we ought to praise God even if something is withheld. Let me give you these beautiful thoughts from verse 16, 17, 18, 19, right down through there. Habakkuk, the prophet, he's going to preach and thank God for all that he does. In verse number 16, he hears of coming judgment. I heard my belly trembled, the Bible says. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones. He was just in a bad shape. But verse number 17, he imagines the worst case scenario that could happen. If the fig tree won't blossom, if there won't be any fruit of the vines, if the labor of the olive shall fail, and all of these things, meaning he paints the worst, bleakest picture that he can think of. And then verse number 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And then he gives his conclusion in verse number 19. He says, the Lord is my strength. So he chooses to praise God even if some things that he wanted are withheld. Because God's a much better father than I am, much better parent than you are. And so if you'll withhold some things from your children because it's not good for them to get it currently. We were at camp I was at camp the week before. And so, you know, you see kids coming out of that Snacker Barrel. That's what they call the gift shop. And so they've got all kinds of sugary sweets and everything in there. They don't give energy drinks or anything like that, but it's not all water either. You know, they've got the Cokes and different things they get by. And you see these kids, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, hope your counselor has a good rapport with your mom, because she's not going to be happy with all this. And so they're doing that. What happens after a while? Some of them is like, oh, I don't feel so good. I wouldn't feel good either after three Mountain Dews and two boxes of Nerds and three bottle caps and this. I wouldn't feel good either. So we as parents, we withhold some things. Well, God's a better parent than us. So sometimes he withholds some things when we ask that's not good for us right now. So even when he withholds some things, we still ought to follow the path of the prophet and praise God in the midst of that. Number four, really that praising mouth is a reflection or just an outpouring of something down here. And really what it's an outpouring of is a submissive heart. In Psalm 34, I'll give you this little text verse or proof verse. It's a familiar passage. When I read it to you, you'll have heard it many times. Psalm 34, verse number 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul, that's down deep. The soul is the, of course, your eternal soul, but my soul, your innermost part of you, you, the real you. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And what will be the result? The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. But a praising mouth reflects a submissive heart, meaning I've submitted to God. My soul is full, and my soul is a follower. My soul is a believer. My soul is confident in how good God is. And so all that my mouth is doing is reflecting what's in here. I've submitted myself to God. I've submitted myself to His ways, His will. And I would challenge you on this. This is not in my notes, but I would challenge you in this, that we use that mouth that God's given us to praise Him. Praise Him in front of people. Praise Him when we're by ourselves. Praise Him when it's public. Praise Him when it's private. A praising mouth, though, reflects that. And then not only that, number five, we see that praising reminds us of God's greatness. I love this story in 2 Kings. Hezekiah is... He's reviewing this letter that's threatening him from the Assyrians. And this old Bible story is so wonderful. And he tells us in, excuse me, let me find my place here, 19, verse number 14. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord, and he spread it out before God, and he bows and prays. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone. This is praising to God. And all of thy kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. What do you call all that? That's just praising God for who He is. Praise reminds us of God's greatness. Now, again, I've mentioned this before, so I'm not going to belabor the point, but sometimes I've heard preachers say that said, you've got to be bold in your prayer, and you've got to give these prayer promises. God, you said this, and you said this. Can I just remind you that you don't have to remind God, but I got to remind me. So when I say, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not, I'm not reminding God of His side of the bargain. I'm reminding myself that's the God I serve. Amen. And so praise reminds us of God's greatness. Thou art God and thou alone. He knows that, but I need to be reminded of that. Praise God, praising Him reminds us of God's greatness, and it tells us, it establishes the playing ground. If you and I were to go into the presence of our president or another country's king or whoever it was, you might very well say, it's an honor to be here. You are going to give some praise for something to show and establish the ground truths that you're humbled to be in the presence. So praise reminds us of God's greatness. Now, we were in Psalm. We'll go back there. But praise, it does something else to us as well. It reminds us, it warms the soul and enables it to pray. Let me give you this one. You'll know this one for sure. In Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come unto His, come before His presence with singing. Again, praising, singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. All right, you don't have to do this out loud, but I want to give you a little exercise. If we were in class, and we'd be writing this down, but you don't have to even write it down, and we won't ask you to raise your hand to tell the class. But think of a problem. Go ahead, think of a problem that you've had in the last week, day, hour, month, whatever, a problem, health problem, financial problem, whatever it is. Now, in your brain, in your mind, start praising God for who He is. He's the God that made your body, the body that you've been worried about because there were some test results that came back that you didn't like and I didn't like. Praise God for what He does. He's the one that daily loadeth us with benefits. He's the sustainer, the provider. Praise God for now in your brain, in your mind, where He's done it in your family, in your body, in your life. And now praise Him for how He's done it. You provided in this way. Our family was in difficult times financially, and God, this is how You did it. And as you've just done that little exercise, that little experiment, if you will, you've reminded yourself that He has done it before. And if it be so that it's His will, then He will do it again as you pray. And so what this does to me, it praising the Lord warms the soul, it ignites some things inside of us, and it enables us to pray. In verse 4, it says again, enter into His courts with praise. And so it gives the big imagery here that you're coming before God, you're coming into His presence. And as you come into your presence, because you're His people, you're the sheep of His pasture. Now we are entering into His gates with thanksgiving. We are in some, if you watch some old cartoon or some old movie where they came into the presence of royalty and with loud instruments and a lot of regality and singing and dancing, and you are coming in to the presence of royalty. That's the imagery that's given here. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. And so the reason I want to bring us this tonight is that we need to have our prayer time peppered with praise. We need to be praising the Lord for who He is and what He's done and what He's given us and how He's done it and what He's blessed us with. And if I could leave you with that thought that I've already just told you, that you are living in some answered prayer. Lord, thank You for that. Thank You for this. Thank You for blessing. I'm coming into His gates with thanksgiving. I'm entering into His courts with praise. And as we do that, it bolsters my faith and it encourages and increases my confidence. And I say, Lord, You've done it before, and I'm able now to pray again in this particular instance. So sometimes we get the wrong idea. We'll say that someone at a church is we are praising the Lord about something, and we'll mean a song that's sung, and that's good. We can praise the Lord in that. Somebody gets happy during a service and they'll lift a hand or they'll clap a hand, they'll clap their hands or they'll stand up and they'll say amen or praise the Lord, and all of that's good. That's fine. If you're prone to do that, that's good. If you're not prone to do it, don't conjure it up. I mean, don't be fake. Don't hold it back if you want to, but don't make it up just because somebody else is doing it. That's kind of where my stand on that. But that's not necessarily, that is praising the Lord, but praising the Lord can just be by yourself. And speaking about what God has done, and you're reminding yourself of how good He's been and what He's accomplished and how He's done it and where He's done it and what He's given you, and you look around. I mean, it's amazing. If you just go through your house, this is only on a physical side right now, but you go through your house and you say, thank You, Lord, for that. Thank You, Lord, for this. We don't need any heat right now, but thank You, Lord, for the air conditioner. Don't have air conditioning, at least thank the Lord for a fan. If you don't have a fan, check yourself in the hospital. You may have a heat stroke before long. But you walk around, thank You for that. Thank You for that. Thank You for that. We've lived in our trailer we lived in for some time. We didn't have running water, and so it's nice to have restrooms inside, not outside. There's a lot you can be thankful for. But it's more than just say, oh, that's nice. Yeah. It's being praising His name. Worshiping is basically giving glory to God for who He is, and praising Him is giving Him glory for what He's done. So you're just naming out things And your prayer time and my prayer time, your prayer life and my prayer life ought to be peppered with praises. Thank you, God. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. And if you will get yourself in a habit of that, then you will find yourself much more ready to pray in faith as the things come that you need, because you have been praising already for what He's done. I would not demean it or bring it down at all to say that you get yourself psyched up. That's what somebody says at a ball game, you know, or a ball team, I should say. I think I get psyched up and get ready. It's not that. But there are some similarities that you are reminding yourself of what God can do. You're reminding yourself of what God's already done. And you're not psyching yourself up. I would never lower it to that level. But you are convincing yourself of who it is that you're coming to. You're convincing yourself and reminding yourself, this is the one that gave me this blessed partner that He's given me. This is the one who provided health. This is the one who has been with me when the health wasn't there. This is the one that sent His Son to die on the cross for me, so that if none of my current prayers go answered, then the most important one, when I asked Christ to forgive me my sins, that one got answered. And the beautiful thing is, the most important prayers always get answered. Because the most important prayers are those when somebody says, Lord, would you come into my life, forgive me my sins, save me. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if there's any time that you say, Lord, you didn't answer that prayer like I wanted, I'm still not over that one prayer that He did answer when I said, would you be my Savior? But our prayers ought to be peppered with praise for what God's done. Would you bow your heads together as we do a little, not homework because you're still at church, but a little bit of homework. Right here as the ladies come to play on the instruments, I'd like for you to start that praising right now. You don't have to do it out loud, but right there where you sit, what has the Lord done for you? How has He shown Himself strong? And ladies, when you all get there, you just play whatever you're playing. How has He blessed you? What has He done in your life? Who would you be without Him? What are you experiencing right now in your life that is an answer to prayer? That you're living that prayer that you prayed years ago. I am right now. And Lord, I praise You for this. I praise You for the opportunity to be the pastor of this wonderful church and be the pastor and friend of all of these people. Lord, I praise You for that. What are you praising the Lord for right now? I can tell you this, as they continue to play, it sure beats complaining about what you're disappointed in. I'm challenging you right now, shift gears and praise the Lord about something else. Search through your mind. What else do you have to praise the Lord about? Some of you are sitting beside your spouse. You ought to praise the Lord for him or her. Some of you, your spouse has gone on to glory. You can praise the Lord that you had them while you had them. Some of us, we have children. We ought to praise the Lord for them. We complain about issues that happen in our lives. But why aren't we praising the Lord for what He's given? I hope you stay in this habit. Now, as I continue the invitation, here's the rest of my inviting of you. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, I think I know everybody in the room. But maybe there's something about you that I don't know. that you're having doubts about your soul's salvation. My friend, I lived like that for years. It's no peaceful way to live. If you're not sure you're saved, would you slip out of your seat? There's plenty of room wherever around you, and come down. Let me take a Bible and show you how to be sure that you're saved. Maybe you have some other need, spiritually speaking, and you want somebody to pray with you. We've got good folks all over this auditorium that would love to just take some time and pray with you about some struggle you're going through. They'll finish playing this verse. Praise the Lord right now, I challenge you. And if there's something you need somebody to pray with you about, you step out and come. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, I thank you for being in church, and there's a lot of other things going on in the buildings tonight, of course, with the young people with Patch, and then the teens, and then the young adult Bible study, nursery, different things. But thank you for being here in this place, and do pray for our nation as we get to celebrate this Sunday. We'll have a patriotic Sunday, and we'll celebrate our nation. But do take this season to be praying about God's blessings and what this country needs. We need to turn to Him. And one last thing I want to challenge you. You've got the prayer list right there. And I challenge you to send out a note to somebody this week. Let them know you're praying for them. The greatest thing you can do for anybody is pray for them. The next thing is you can let them know you're praying for them. Because the prayer is what goes to the Lord, and He moves on behalf. But then as they know you're praying, then that just bolsters them and encourages them. So I challenge everybody, if you need addresses or something, they're on. If you've got the app, all of that's available there. But if you don't have that and you just want to call in the office and get somebody's address, then fine. But challenge you to send a note to somebody this week and let them know that you're praying for them. You never know what that might do for them at that very moment that they get it from you. So thank you for being in church tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.